Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, welcome to another fun episode of TFL Car Chat.
Hello.
Yep, and we got Andrei Smirnov next to me, the managing editor of TFL Truck. And you may be wondering to yourself, why is the managing editor of TFL Truck here instead of Nathan? Well, Nathan, as you know, has moved to California, and he's still setting up his studio at his house for the podcast.
Yeah, so he'll be back.
He'll be back.
And Tommy, where's Tommy?
He's on his honeymoon in Hawaii.
What?
Yeah. He's surfing. I'm not joking, dude. He's here.
I can't
show you guys, but I can show.
Okay, I've tried surfing once in California, and it was terrible. I'm no good at it. I'm out of shape, and I did not. It was not good. I couldn't do it.
There, I'm showing.
Wait, there's a picture of a longboard, and Tommy is on it.
Yep, he's in Maui, and he just took a surfing lesson.
Wow. Yeah, Tommy's better than me.
There he is. Here's another one from the side.
Well, he's a star. What else can I say?
And maybe what I could do is I could give these to the editor, and then
they can put it in.
They can put it in the podcast so I can see him.
So why am I here?
Because we're talking about towing, Andre, and you are the towing master at TFL. Of course, you're mainly towing trucks or towing with trucks or towing trucks and cars. But we thought it'd be fun to get the list of the most and least tow-worthy cars. So basically the cars that tow the best and the tow the worst. And we've run a bunch of them up the iGauntlet.
I counted. So I believe our iGauntlet list, because we have a playlist on YouTube, is 176.
Wow.
So we've overall tested, and that may be missing a couple.
Yep.
Because we've published a couple of iGauntlets on other channels as well. So we have a lot of experience over the last, 12 years of doing this?
We do.
And a lot of them are crossovers and SUVs, and we have a list of these right here.
Yeah, and then we're not, if you're waiting for the big old boys, I'm talking about the Suburban Tahoe, Yukon, truck-based.
Those are trucks.
Yeah, so we consider those trucks at TFL because basically, as I'm sure you know, a Tahoe sits on pretty much the chassis of a Silverado.
Yeah.
And so it has a very similar towing capability profile as a Silverado would. So we're talking about cars, unibody vehicles.
Smaller SUVs.
Yeah. And let's start right away, as I like to, with number one. Because first of all, before I start with number one, are we going to publish that video this weekend?
Yeah, we are.
Okay, so you can go over to where?
OldTFL.com is where we have everything we do in one place, so you can always stay up to date. And what we're publishing, what you can see at OldTFL.com, is our iGauntlet of the Lexus GX 550, which is a brand new, very popular SUV in the enthusiast community. And it has a humongous tow rating.
Yeah, I was at the launch of the vehicle, and they had not yet announced the tow rating.
Until
we got there. And when they did announce it, there was a hush that fell over the room.
A commotion?
No, it was a hush.
Okay, and then
it took people's breath away, Andre. It was so high. So it's 9,066, I think.
Is that 9,062 pounds.
Thank you. Yeah.
Which is a weird number, but high number, too.
Yeah, this is full-size truck territory. We're looking Ford F-150, Ram 1500.
Yes. Silverado 1500.
Yeah, these are big numbers for what is essentially a three-row
midsize
SUV or a two-row if you get the Overtrail.
Yeah.
And that's the vehicle that we had.
Yes.
So if I remember right, ours came in at just over $80,000.
84-ish.
So we had the Overtrail. We had the giant rack on the roof. We had
every option
available. Yes. It was very expensive. And what was under the hood?
Hey, podcast listeners and TFL Talk viewers. I wanted to take a minute to talk to you about a quick and simple way to sell your car or truck with the help of our new partner, HiRoad. With HiRoad's online portal, you enter your vehicle's VIN number or plate, mileage, and zip code, And you'll get competing offers from several qualified dealers in your area within seconds. You pick the best deal offered and follow through with the dealer to sell your car. No more managing scammy emails from buyers on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace. No more time wasted on no-show buyers. No bait and switch with a "will you take a check" excuse from sketchy buyers. Now keep in mind, these offers will be for trade-in values of your vehicle. If you want to go through the hassle of getting more for your car, that's up to you. But if you want to sell your car hassle-free and fast, go to tflcar.com and click Sell Your Car in the navigation menu. Or click on the High Road ad at the bottom of the website if you're on mobile, or click on the column if you're on a desktop. High Road makes it easy, and we like easy.
It's a twin turbo V6, so this is a 3.4 liter twin turbo V6 that is shared amongst several vehicles in Toyota's lineup, and this is 349 horsepower and 479 pound-feet of torque. So this is actually a very torquey, powerful engine.
You know, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I always hate when they say, and head on over to the video to watch what happened, but we figure you're here.
So we're not going to say that.
We're not going to say that. If you want to go over to AllTFL, see it. But we're going to tell you what happened because it was very interesting because, well, we were towing a lot of weight with a car that seems to have been a little bit over its head. Would you say that was fair?
Yes. So we hooked up, and Cole and team and Gavin and Mr. Truck was there. We all worked together. We loaded my Chevy Colorado pickup truck onto our heavy-duty trailer.
For how much weight?
So total combined weight was 8,500 pounds.
And you know what? We should, if you're new to TFL, you may not know what the Ike is. So why don't you define what the Ike is, too?
Yeah, so we call it the world's toughest towing test. And the Ike gauntlet, the name comes from, actually, Nathan. Nathan coined this term. But the name comes from the Eisenhower-Johnson tunnel. So Ike was Eisenhower's nickname, right? So Ike gauntlet. And this is the highest, well, this is a continental divide, right? This is basically one of the highest elevations for a tunnel of that length. It's like a 2-mile-long tunnel. And leading up to that tunnel is a huge grade. So this is 8 miles, 7% grade, and elevation is 11,158 feet above sea level. So it tests every vehicle to the limit because elevation.
Because we don't just tow up the Ike, we also
come down.
Down the Ike. And then let's talk about our methodology. How do we rate cars on the Ike?
So,
and trucks.
Yeah, just so happens that we do downhill first, and then we climb back up the mountain.
Because that's the way.
Well, that's the way the road goes.
Yeah, we're going west.
Yeah, we're going west. But the downhill is actually more important than the uphill, because if you lose your brakes or your brakes overheat on the way down, you are in huge risk, right?
I think there are not one, but maybe two.
There are two
runaway truck runs.
Runaway truck runs.
Yeah, and they get used.
Well, we follow I-70, you know, Instagram pages, and almost daily you see, you know, overheated brakes or a semi-truck losing control or something like this.
Yeah, let's face it. When you're going up a very steep grade, if the vehicle overheats, which happens, then you can pull over.
And stop,
and then you've just got to, you know, figure out a way to get home. But when you're going down and the brakes overheat, then you've got serious...
You have trouble slowing down.
Exactly.
And it could be a runaway.
And so what we do, or what Andre does, is he counts brake applications.
Yeah, so we come out at the top of the tunnel, top of the mountain at 50 miles an hour, and we're in tow home mode usually, and we usually allow the vehicle to think for itself. So we're not manually shifting gears. We're not using our skills.
Yeah, often people say, why don't you manually shift gears? And the reply we always give to that is, this is a test of the vehicle, not a test of the driver. We're trying to take the driver out of it as much as possible.
Yeah. And then as soon as it goes over the speed limit, which is 60 miles an hour, so as soon as it touches 61, I apply the brake.
And bring it.
And we count those applications.
And you bring it back down to 50?
Yeah, down to 50.
And then hit the brake again.
When and you see what happens.
Yeah, and the idea there is, the more the vehicle, in this case the car, can control the load using something that many people call grade shifting. And why don't you explain grade shifting?
Yeah, grade shifting sometimes in newer vehicles either comes on automatically, you don't have to do anything, or sometimes it's available under tow haul mode. So as soon as you push that button, wherever it's in your vehicle for tow haul, and actually the Lexus GX has that, it has a button for that. The grade shifting basically changes the way the transmission works. And as soon as it either senses you're going downhill, and speeding up, it automatically downshifts. So it brings up the revolutions for the engine, and the engine helps you slow down.
So you're using engine braking instead of burning out your brakes, because brakes will burn out on that 8 mile stretch very easily, because you've got all this weight pushing you down a very steep grade. Now, before we get to the uphill part, let's talk about how the GX did going downhill. Oh, and then before we get to that, sorry, Andre.
Yeah.
We should also talk about brake controllers, the different kinds of brake controllers, because you guys over here at CARB, you know, may be new to towing, so we want to make sure that we're addressing all of your questions. So let's talk about when you need a brake controller first. Let's go even further. What's a brake controller?
It's a way to, if your trailer has brakes, and most trailers over 3,000 pounds capability have brakes because they're required to by law. Then you need a way in the vehicle to control those brakes. So usually it's electric, right? In this conversation for cars and trucks and SUVs, it's an electric mechanism. So usually when you have that hitch on the back of your car or SUV and you have those either 4-pin or 7-pin connectors, there's some sort of wiring that helps you connect to the trailer. And you need that 7-pin connector to activate brakes.
Yeah, so that 7-pin connector not only lights up the trailer so that when you hit your tail light, when you brake and the vehicle's tail lights light up, then the trailer brake tail lights light up so that people know you're braking. But then the other wire is also in control the brakes.
Actuation of the brake of the brakes.
And then there's a little squeezy
thing.
Yeah, it's two little tabs usually. Sometimes on the right side, sometimes on the left side, and then there's two little buttons. So what you can do is you can squeeze that, and you'll activate the brakes manually, but there's also a thing called gain, which are these two little buttons, and the gain is basically how hard the brakes are braking.
Yeah, so it basically goes from 0, which means no brake actuation, to 10, usually means maximum trailer brake activation. And so you have to judge. Each vehicle may be different. I usually start at 5, so I start in the middle. And if the brakes on the trailer feel too grabby, like when you touch your brake pedal, if you feel like a jerk from the trailer, then the gain is too high. So you have to bring it down just a little.
And the reason for that is because you're changing the weight that is on, let's say, a car trailer, right? So obviously if it's a camper or something like that, you're not – well, you can also change the weight in the camper.
You can add water. Add stuff to it.
Yeah. You can add dirty laundry.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, it's true.
Yes.
So the weight determines how much you want to brake or not. And you said something interesting, and that is you have to have a brake controller over 3,000 pounds of weight. Why is that?
So that's a law in Colorado, and actually some states have slightly different regulations on trailer brakes. Well, because we have mountainous terrain in Colorado, right? And anything heavier than determined by the state over 3,000 pounds, you got to have a way to stop that trailer. So it could be surge brakes.
Yeah, I noticed that that's very popular with boats, and I noticed that surge brakes are very popular in Europe. You want to define what a surge brake is?
Yeah, a surge brake is actually a mechanical actuation of brakes, and it relies on hydraulics, just like your car brake, right? There's hydraulic fluid inside of your trailer brake system. And basically, when you're slowing down, the weight of the trailer pushes down on the tongue of the trailer, and actually that pushes the fluid and stops.
So that activates the brake, and the harder the trailer pushes on the car or truck, the harder the brakes actuate.
Yeah.
And then for that one, you don't need a brake controller, and you don't, in fact, have a brake controller.
Yeah, and the brake controller would be useless because the trailer is basically handling the brakes for you by itself. And the reason why it's usually on boat trailers in the United States is because electric-actuated brakes, when you put that trailer in the water, when you're launching the boat, you could have a short or something going on, right, because it's electricity.
So you want the surge brake on the boat trailer.
Yeah, usually.
All right. And before we get to this list, I know I'm putting it off a little bit, but we'll get there. Don't worry. We'll get to the GX. Most sedans, small crossovers, don't have the capacity to tow much more over, let's say, 15. If it's like a Subaru Crosstrack, you'll be looking.
It's usually 1,500 pounds. Yeah.
And so, for those vehicles, we're not talking about brake controllers. Now you're probably pulling, I don't know, at a max, maybe one like jet ski. These are very small loads.
Yeah, maybe one jet ski, two jet skis,
a utility trailer,
maybe a little tiny teardrop trailer.
Yeah,
right?
And we did
something small.
And we did for a while. do what we call the tyke ike, where we basically got, I think it was a tiny, was it a tiny teardrop? What do we have?
It was a tiny teardrop, and we bought a little tyke car, you know, little kid baby car, and we put it on top of it, and we called it tyke ike.
So when we get down to the Kia Sportage, we'll have the results of the tyke ike. But it wasn't all that popular. I think people, in general, if they're going to tow, they're going to use much bigger vehicles because obviously 1,500 pounds or for a long time, the Wrangler was at 3,000 pounds. This is not a lot of capacity that doesn't get you a lot when you need to tow anything significant. And we're, of course, doing this in the mountains to make the job for these vehicles as hard as possible. So this is, once again, like Andre said, the world's toughest towing test, and that's on purpose. So if it can conquer the Ike Gauntlet, it'll probably be fine if you're towing from your brother's house to, you know, your sister's house or whatever you're doing.
Yeah, if you're in Kansas, it'll be
exactly
great.
All right, so what happened with the GX, Andre, when you went down the hill? Tell me, because you did something that you never do, and that is you actually took manual control of the load. Why was that?
So the great shifting feature of the transmission, we talked about it already, was not helping me out much. So what was happening is, as soon as the speed was getting like above 57 miles per hour, approaching the speed limit of 60, all of a sudden the transmission would upshift, like go into a higher gear, and that doesn't offer me a lot of slowing down power. And so by the time Mr. Truck and I counted 8 brake applications, we only went halfway. And I felt like, well, I had no idea how hot the brakes were going.
Yeah.
But my experience tells me after doing 178 Ike Gauntlets. My experience told me if this continues, we may have a problem with brakes. So I manually shifted it.
So that in our test, that would be extraordinary, and I would consider that a failure because all of a sudden the vehicle really isn't doing a safe job or potentially a safe job of handling that much weight because now you're forced to take over because you don't want to burn out your brakes.
Yeah. So what I did was, you know, you really flip the console shifter, I believe it's to the left, and now you're in manual shift mode, and you can go up and down on the shifter and select, for example, third gear. I believe I was in third for some of this. And then that's helping you out a little bit, and now you can kind of control your speed a little bit more. So I did that on the GX, and I almost, maybe I've done it once before in this history of us doing it, but I wasn't comfortable with GX braking.
Yeah, and so we've got 12 brake applications, but that's because you kind of helped.
I helped the GX. Yeah, I helped it.
Yeah, so it could have been more, but the downside to actually not doing what you did is we may have been at 12 or 13 or 14, God knows how many, or you may have been going up the
runaway truck ramp.
Exactly.
Right. Which I did not want to do.
Yeah. So of course, part of what we do is the downhill part. And then we turn around when we get to the bottom in Silverthorne, and we head right back up. And the great thing about the Ike Gauntlet is it's 3 lanes. And so up and down, three lanes. What we try to do is we try to hit a target number in terms of how long it should take to get to the tunnel. And what is that target number, and why did we choose that number?
It is 8 minutes, and we determined it because it's 8 miles. And so if you're going at 60 miles an hour, which is the speed limit, you should travel that distance in 8 minutes.
Yeah,
so that's our goal.
Yeah, and with towing, we're always focused on safety. And so the reason we made sure that you could go the speed limit is because it's also dangerous when you're going 25 miles an hour. And we've been in that situation because the vehicle is struggling to hold a gear or struggling to make it up the hill, and then cars are flying by you at 65 because even though the speed limit is 60, a lot of people are speeding.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And so keeping up with traffic is a safety concern, and so that's why we made it basically 8 minutes. And how's the procedure work? So we turn around, and then we get on the on-ramp, and then what happens?
So on the on-ramp, usually there's like the traffic, you know, the throttling traffic on the on-ramp, and usually at that particular light, because it's always off when we test during the day, at 35 miles an hour, I put the hammer down, which means we start at about 35 miles per hour and then full throttle until we can get to 60 and then maintain 60.
And then, of course, we also check out what the fuel economy is. So we use the truck for that or the car for that because there's no gas station, so we can't use our 2-click pump method. But we reset the odometer and we reset the trip meter and we reset the fuel economy gauge. And so what time did the GX get and what was the fuel economy?
The GX got 8 minutes and 32 seconds. It went up. So it was about 32 seconds.
So the slower, the worse.
Slower, yeah, the slower, the worse.
8 minutes, it would be ideal.
And it registered 4.2 MPG. And actually, for that heavy of a trailer of 8,500 pounds that we were towing, 4.2 or over 4 is actually a decent result. But the time, once again, I thought that twin turbo V6 is going to have no issues. It will fly up there. But it actually was taxed.
I think that's fair because Toyota / Lexus would tell you that that engine is replacing a V8. And so, you know,
it's torquey, too.
It's torquey, yeah. So it's, you know, all the power of a V8 with better fuel economy. And yet, when you get into the turbos, we have found that the fuel economy goes down. But usually the power goes up. But in this case, at 8,500 pounds, it struggled. And that's a lot of weight, Andre. I can't stress to you guys how much 8,500 pounds is for...
So this would be a very big boat. Yeah. So this would be like a 24-foot or a 25-foot boat, potentially. This would be like a large trailer. I'm talking about like 30 or 32-foot camping trailer. So this is the type of thing that we're talking about here.
Yeah, let's kind of just quickly go over, because it's a lot easier to give you context as to what each different segment of the truck world tows. So, let's start with now compact trucks. The Maverick and the Santa Cruz, how much do they tow? Those are like cars, basically.
About 4,000 to 5,000.
And then you get
which is relatively high for those vehicles.
It is. And then you get into, because they're based on car chassis often. And then you get into the midsize trucks, Ranger, Tacoma, Canyon, Colorado, Frontier. How much do those usually tow?
We're talking about 6,400 pounds to about 7,700 pounds.
So now this GX has a higher capacity
than all of midsize trucks.
All of midsize trucks. Yeah. I think the number one best towing midsize is maybe the Gladiator, right? I think it's got...
It's actually tied between the Chevy, GMC, and the Jeep.
Okay.
So all those three are tied at 7,700 pounds.
And then you get into half tons or full-size trucks, Silverado, obviously, F-150, Ram 1500.
Tundra.
What do those tow up to, depending on the configuration?
Yeah, so usually it's either 11,000 pounds for like the Toyota or the Ram, or about 13,000 pounds for like the Chevy 1500 with a special package or the F-150.
And I think here's where we have to talk a little bit about payload.
Yes.
Especially for all you Europeans out there, because you have a whole different way of towing than we do. Because I've been watching some of the old Top Gear episodes, and they've got some little teeny tiny diesel Hyundai that's towing this massive camper, right?
Caravan, they would say.
Oh, you're right, caravan.
Caravan.
And it's holding up this line of cars.
Because it's a caravan of cars.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And the way that you can do that is by not doing a lot of tongue weight. I just said a lot of things that probably don't mean a lot to many car people. So what does that mean? Why can they do that with no tongue weight?
How those little cars?
Yeah,
can do
with
it?
No tongue weight.
Well, it depends on the trailer, right? So normally, if the trailer weighs 5,000 pounds, you need at least about 500 pounds.
10%.
10% of that weight on the tongue.
Pushing down the tongue is a hitch.
On the hitch.
And the reason we do that in America is because that mitigates trailer sway. Trailer sway is when you're driving along and all of a sudden the thing behind you that you're towing is going left to right. And then
it becomes worse and worse and worse and very, very dangerous.
Yeah, very unstable. And eventually it can flip you over. Yeah, exactly. So in America, we use a lot more tongue weight. But the reason that that's... can be problematic is because then you've got all this weight pushing down on the back of the vehicle.
So the vehicle's squatting really badly.
And that's why on the Ike, we also measure squat.
Yes.
In other words, we see how the distance between the fender on the back tire and...
to the ground, basically.
To the ground versus it being hooked up to a trailer with the weight. And usually we get, you know, it's between one to three inches of squat.
Yeah, up to 3 inches of difference usually. Yeah. And I think, I mean, I haven't lived in Europe that long or towed trailers there much. But, you know, they don't have the high speeds that we experience here. You know, across Texas, the speed limit could be 80. In Colorado, the speed limit is 75.
Yeah, usually
in Europe, long highways.
You'll see, like, on the Autobahn, I think it's limited to 80 kilometers, right?
For towing.
Yeah. Or on the Beast, I think they're called Beast Streets in Europe. It's 50 kilometers, which is, you know, a lot slower.
So a lot lower speeds.
We can... hook up a trailer.
We could tow 80.
Go to Montana or Utah
America.
And take it up to 80 miles an hour, which would be 120 kilometers, give or take. So we tow a lot faster than the Europeans do. And so we have a lot more tongue weight. And then the other thing that happens when you squat something in the back, you get kind of this issue where the headlights then are pointing into oncoming traffic. Modern, that used to be a bigger problem because modern headlights now adjust. So, you know, they know that you don't want to blind oncoming traffic, so they kind of tilt down. But in the past, we had issues with actually blinding people when we were towing. And cars especially tend to squat a lot because trucks have very firm coils.
Heavy springs.
Springs and coils, right, depending on what kind of truck.
Cars usually don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also the squatting issue, right? So if your vehicle, let's say you're in a little crossover or a wagon or something like that, station wagon, if you're squatting, you're basically unloading the front axle, right? So what happens is
less steering,
you know, capability, and also maybe the brakes are not working as well as they could have worked. So it's actually multiple issues.
Yeah, and as all you car guys and gals know, most of your braking comes from your front wheels.
Yeah.
And so when you unload the front wheels,
you don't have enough traction over there.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So it could be a big issue.
All right. So let's go down this list. So next on our list is the Land Cruiser. Now, this is the current Land Cruiser, the brand new one that just came out. Not the old
2024.
One. Old one with the V8. We're not talking about the venerable one that everybody thinks of. We're talking about the new one, which is much cheaper and smaller?
Now a hybrid and smaller.
And smaller and a hybrid. So what were we towing, Andre?
So we were towing much less weight in the Land Cruiser because it's not actually rated as highly as the GX. They share a lot of the components, but we were towing about 5,500 pounds. We're towing a little Honda Acti. I think 6,000.
So just a 500 under. Yeah.
So once again, we either tried to hit the maximum or stay just below the maximum on these tests. And it's a hybrid, so you and I had this thought to ourselves that, you know, the electric motor should help slow us down because it would regen some of the energy, right? And it wasn't helping us much.
No, and we've actually towed with electric cars. And electric cars, and even
Model X, remember?
Yeah, the Model X, and even, you know, plug-in hybrids, PHEVs, have a lot more regenerative braking. I think the problem with the Land Cruiser is that it's just a mild system. It's just a small hybrid, and it's got a small battery.
Yes.
And so you can quickly fill off the battery going down, pushing a lot of weight behind you. So it didn't exactly help us in the downhill run, but it did help on the uphill run?
A little.
Yeah.
So 12 brake applications on the way down in the Land Cruiser, which is not a good number, but I did not manually shift.
So I
let the Land Cruiser do it. And then 8 minutes, 13 seconds on the way up. So actually pretty good performance, almost a perfect time by about 13 seconds. And 5.8 mpg. But once again, we're towing a lot lighter, 5,500 pounds. So the mpg was pretty good. But you know what that hybrid system does, as we realized during this test? It adds weight to the car, right? We're talking about 500 or 600 pounds more of battery and electric motor and other components that add to it.
So let's talk about this other part of the payload equation, and that is just how much a payload a vehicle has. And so you would think that a car or truck with four-wheel drive or all-wheel drive would tow more than a car with two-wheel drive. But it just makes sense. You've got four wheels pulling the vehicle, stopping the vehicle. Well, they haven't always stopped the vehicle, but you see what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But in fact, that's not the case because let's just pick a vehicle. Let's say it's got 1,000 pounds of payload from the factory bare, right? There's
like
nothing on it.
Maybe a Kia Sportage or something
like that. No, just any vehicle. A make-believe vehicle.
A make-believe.
It's got 1,000 pounds of payload. Now, the first thing that happens is you get into it.
I'm pretty heavy.
So let's say you're 250.
I'm 240.
Okay, 240. I'm 240.
Okay.
I'm just doing round numbers, make it easy.
Yeah, 250.
All right, so you're 250. I'm not saying you are. And that now reduces the payload down to
25%.
750 pounds.
Yes.
The payload is as much as you can put in the car safely without overstressing it.
Yeah.
So now you're at 750. And now let's say you want to tow a trailer that has a tongue weight of 250 pounds.
Okay, so you put that on.
So you put that on.
On the hitch.
Right. And now you're down to what? 500.
500 pounds.
All right. But now you've bought the fancy version of that car, which means that it's
with
got
a sunroof
and four-wheel drive
yes.
and heated seats and, you know, massaging
Massage.
Seats. And all that stuff is heavy. So now you've taken the payload down another 250 pounds because of all that. So now you're down to 250 pounds of payload left. And now the question becomes, your family wants to come in with you.
Your wife and two kids.
Yeah, and now you're over payload.
And you don't want to tell that to your wife.
Yeah, and this is what happens with cars very quickly.
Yes.
When you start towing heavy with them. That's why their tow ratings are much lower than that of trucks, because trucks have sturdier frames, right? Big trucks especially, they're body on frame, they're not unibody.
Long wheelbases.
Heavy duty springs. And so they're much better at towing heavy than cars are. All right, here's something interesting. The first two that we've mentioned are off-roaders. And that's also detrimental to towing. Why is that, Andre? Why are off-roaders worse at towing than on-roaders?
Good question. And usually it comes down to off-road components are heavy.
Yep.
So we have a picture of a Ford Bronco, four-door, a new Ford Bronco behind us. So when you add locking differentials, heavy axles, big tires, that adds weight to the vehicle.
And that's what we're talking about, the Bronco, by the way.
Yes. But also what happens is... first of all, cooling is a big part. So if you don't have a big grill, you know, and a lot of these vehicles are stylized and they don't have huge grills.
Wait. You mean those cool lights that I put on the front of my vehicle?
Your fog lamps?
Yeah, that block the air coming into the radiator.
Your car needs cooling to tow.
Yeah. Yes. And there's the best example of that is, I think, when Jeep built the Gladiator. And they basically, now they're saying, about when it first came out, they 100% said that the Gladiator was not a Wrangler with a bed. And we were all like,
looks like a Wrangler with a bed.
It's a Wrangler with a bed. And they're, oh, no. But the one thing they did tell us was that they had to redesign
the front end,
because the Wrangler just could not get enough air for towing.
Yes. And they did. And then also, off-roaders usually have softer springs.
And bigger tires.
And you need a softer spring for an off-roader because you want to handle those, you know, bumps and rocks off-road. That's not good for towing.
So having said that, what's the towing capacity of the Bronco? Do you remember?
I believe it's 3,500 pounds.
Okay, and so we towed, if you're watching this on YouTube, you can see it. We towed this little... Who are these guys?
It was Boreas.
Boreas, that's right.
Trailer, which is a pretty tough looking teardrop. Basically, it's a place for two people to sleep, but it's a very low profile trailer, right? So it's basically within the same height as the Bronco. It weighs about 2,400 pounds.
Yeah, and how did it do?
Not good.
No, didn't do good.
So here's what happens. Like we said, if you do have a dedicated off-roader, and this was a first edition Bronco, right? So it had the Sasquatch package. It had big tires, soft springs or softish springs. We did 9 brake applications, 8 minute and 8 second run up the hill. So actually uphill run was not bad.
No.
And 7.2 MPG on the way up. But it was the fuel efficiency was really higher because of low weight, because we're towing. And you know what else? You know how I knew that the Bronco wasn't really designed for towing?
Yes.
Two things. First of all, the rear camera on the Bronco is on the spare tire, and you can't see the hitch from that camera. So when you're backing up to hook up a trailer,
you can't line up the hitch.
You can't line up the hitch because the hitch is hidden underneath the spare tire.
Makes sense.
That's number one. And number two, it has no brake controller.
Yeah.
Or actually wiring. Remember, we had to take it to the dealer to add wiring to it.
And this is a big deal for a lot of cars. They don't either have a hitch, so you got to go to U-Haul.
You got to install a hitch.
And then you got to spend another $200 installing the wiring for it. And usually the way that they do it at U-Haul is what they do is they hook up your lights to the trailer lights. So in other words, they splice into the lights on your vehicle. And I always felt that was kind of... schlocky way to do it, and now that's becoming problematic because the cars are all computer controlled, and if you add something to one of the circuits, it knows and it says it starts flashing warnings.
Or if that circuit maybe have multiple functions, right? The new vehicles are a lot smarter now, so that wire you may be tapping into, it may not just control the lights; it may control something else too.
I remember when I was moving to Prague. This is back in the 90s. I had a 300ZX.
Uh huh. You put a hitch on it?
I did, yeah. And I towed a motorcycle.
On the 300ZX?
I did. I got a little U-Haul camper, a little U-Haul trailer, and I put a motorcycle on it and towed across. But I had no clue about towing. So they did make a hitch for a 300ZX twin turbo.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So I always thought it was all about power. I'm like, this thing's got 300 horsepower.
I can do it.
It's got four-wheel super high-cost steering, and it did it. But yeah, it was probably not a good idea to tow with a 300ZX. But today, that is getting much more difficult because it's becoming also integrated into the car's computer. Now, let's talk about the Wrangler. So a couple of years ago, I got the tow, not up the Ike, but just in the program with the Jeep Wrangler. And what they did was they added a full floating rear axle to the Wrangler.
Yeah, this is a 2024 model, right?
Yes.
This is the latest model.
And this is a Rubicon, and so they hooked up an Airstream to it. And I think they raised the towing capacity from 3,000 to 5,000, if I remember right.
Yep.
And they said, go for it. And I did, and had the Pentastar, the six-cylinder, and it towed. But, dude, I would not want to take that up the Ike.
And this is a single-axle Airstream, so this is not a big Airstream,
it's
right?
Not that little tiny one, you know, the base camp, but it's not the huge, giant one.
Okay. So what happened? Was the trailer swaying a tiny bit, or what was going on?
Well, I mean, it's a cliche, but it was definitely the tail wagging the dog.
Okay.
In other words, you know, there's a rating here that we don't put in there numerically, and that is, you know, how comfortable do you feel with that much weight behind you? Especially if you're towing cross country, you know, you have to pay attention. You got to be on your game when you're towing.
Crosswinds.
Yeah, it's no longer just driving and putting in cruise control and letting the car take you away while you're playing your favorite Spotify. You're on it.
Let's say there's a pothole you noticed, and you swerve a little bit to avoid it, all of a sudden that can upset the trailer, right? If you're making a sudden motion with your steering, your trailer may start swaying. By the way, I'm watching your video with the Wrangler, and they have a weight distribution hitch here.
Probably need it.
And we
let's talk about a weight distributing hitch. Why do we use weight distributing hitches on our vehicles?
And actually, we're using new hitches now.
Yeah, so
for the last year.
Yeah, we've partnered with WaySafe. They're great. One of the things that they do is they have a little scale.
Weight scale, yep.
That's built into the hitch. So if you need to know your tongue weight, you can see it. Most of their products are aluminum. So the biggest
super lightweight.
Biggest problem, especially when you got those big ass hitches that you're putting on heavy duty trucks, they're very heavy, poor Andres.
They can weigh 80 pounds, 100 pounds per hitch.
So lifting
those hitches could be a problem.
So making aluminum is nice because it decreases the weight. But there's a thing called a weight distributing hitch. Tell us what that is, because I didn't even know it had it.
And usually, you could see the bars.
Yeah, we used it with what did we just use it with?
Well, we used it in the GX550.
Yeah, that's right.
And the Land Cruiser.
Yeah, so what is it, and why do you need
it? So basically, we talked about squat, right? You want a hitch to kind of try to correct it, okay?
Yeah.
You want a hitch to try to correct that squat. So that's what weight distribution hitch does. And the way we're using in the new WaySafe True Tow middleweight hitch, which has those bars. And I always like to describe it like this.
It's like a brake controller.
Ooh, they put a brake controller in your Wrangler?
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Mm.
But it's on the...
No, it's a knob.
Video. Yeah, it's a little knob.
It's a knob.
Round knob, yeah. And there are different kinds of brake controllers.
Yes. It's a way to distribute the load. So it's a way to push a little bit more weight forward into the vehicle towards the front axle and make it all level and nice. And the way I describe it usually is like a wheelbarrow. Imagine you're doing gardening work and you have a wheelbarrow full of, I don't know, mulch, right? And if you
How
pick
about
it
rocks?
Up, rocks, heavy, yeah. rocks. So you pick up the wheelbarrow very close, you know, to the where your rocks are, and you try to lift it up.
That's very heavy.
That's very heavy. What if you have, you know, long handles on your wheelbarrow and you pick it up way out here and you're using basically leverage, right? And it's very easy to pick up your wheelbarrow and now you're carrying it. That's similar to how those bars work, right? They try to distribute that load a little bit further back and try to lift it up.
So it's changing, but in many trucks, you get, especially if you're at 1,500, in other words, full size or higher, they come from the factory with brake controllers.
Yes, but, and all the wiring and all the brake controllers.
Which is nice. But a lot of cars don't.
Right.
Because until now, there's not been, I guess, the competition or the focus on these things. So what can you do if you have a car that doesn't have a brake controller? You could try to retrofit it. You could take it to the dealer, but it's kind of a pain in the butt.
Yeah, so
it's a lot of wiring, and then, you know, it's a lot of cutting. Not a huge amount, but still, it's not easy to retrofit a brake controller. But there is a simpler solution. You want to talk about the wireless brake controller that you can get? We're not sponsored by these guys. We're just trying to help you.
No, and there's several different ways of doing wireless brake controller. Basically, on your trailer, you could we use a Prodigy RF. That's the name of it. You basically I think it was, we bought it several years ago, but it was like about $250.
Ooh, you got the tiny Tyke.
We got the Tyke going.
Oh,
this is Nathan's trailer. Uh-huh. Sorry, we're like squirrels here. You buy it and you mount this box, the receiver, wireless receiver, on the trailer, right? And then it has basically a wireless signal that it sends to your little device, handheld device, inside the car. And you plug it into 12 volt usually just to power your little handheld controller. And now, whammo, all you need is a 7-pin connector mounted to the rear of your car or crossover. And now you can use that little handheld device to actually control the brakes. And
of course, if your trailer doesn't have brakes,
like this one, then that controller will be useless.
Yes, but if it does have brakes, and I can't stress enough, I just think you should always tow with a brake controller when possible, especially here in Colorado or, I don't know, in the hill country in Texas.
It doesn't matter. I mean, California has many mountains, Utah.
Yeah, there's just American, I guess it doesn't matter.
Even on the East Coast.
Even if you're towing in Florida, just think about this. Let's say you need to do an emergency stop, right? Yeah. And you don't have a brake controller. The first thing that happens is all that weight goes pushing against the car because the trailer isn't braking.
Right.
And then you run the risk of jackknifing.
Yes, and then you're already using all full capacity of your car's brakes, and now you're overheating those brakes.
And by the way, Andre is being a little, not timid, I would say, just his usual kind self, but he actually—
Diplomat?
You have a CDL.
Yes.
So he has a commercial driver's license. And I'm guessing, because I don't have one, but this is a lot of the kind of things you go over when you get your commercial driver's license. You have to know this.
I have an air brake endorsement, too. So basically, I can drive anything up to a semi with air brakes.
Yeah,
we're not talking about air brakes.
No. I was watching that big time video where they bought that semi.
Yeah.
And the guys were like, they weren't sure whether they needed a CDL to drive that. And it's got air brakes. I'm like,
well, where's your endorsement?
You need a CDL if you got air brakes. I don't know why that is, but I know.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, speaking of that video, if you haven't watched it, these guys from Donut Media left and they started their own YouTube channel. But here's something else. And we might as well just talk about this because it's fun. So they bought a truck that was a dual axle that was converted to a single axle. And then they were wondering if, because it's a single axle, they took a lot of weight out of it.
Right.
And so usually there's a weight number that you have to have a CDL if you get above. What number is that? I don't know what number that is. How much can you tow without a CDL?
Well, and it depends on the state a little bit too, but it's usually between 10,000 pounds and 26,000 pounds. If some of your weights are above that, it requires a Class A or a CDL license, commercial license.
And then the way that the police check that is, if you're driving along, you've seen those like pull into the weigh station, right?
Yes.
And the vehicle that you're using to tow, in this case a truck, will have a sticker on it.
Like a VIN plate,
right?
Basically.
And it'll have...
It has gross vehicle weight rating of that vehicle.
Yes.
And also, every trailer has a little VIN plate too. And that VIN plate on your trailer will also say a gross vehicle weight rating of the trailer. And what a state policeman does, it's usually state police, right, on the highway, they check those stickers. And if the sticker says 50,000 pounds for a semi-truck, that's what the officer goes by.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter if you cut off one of the axles.
Because he doesn't know what you cut or what you didn't cut.
Yeah, you still have to conform to what's on that plate.
Yes.
And so you need your commercial driver's license. Anyway, that was a little delve into TFL Talking Trucks. So if you want to know more about...
Switch gears.
You know, towing with big trucks or even pickup trucks, head on over to our sister or brother or Uncle Podcast, Talking Trucks. All right, so let's go back to cars. Kia Sportage. Yeah.
So we had the Kia Sportage with a little turbocharged engine, and we couldn't resist. This was a couple years ago. This is Nathan and I. I remember this because we bought little Tyke, little child car.
And strapped it in the back. To designate the Tyke Ike.
Yes, little tiny pop-up camper, which is a single axle, really tiny thing. And I think it weighed, 1,500 pounds? And the Kia did have a little 4-pin connector, so everything was legal. We had lights, we had blinkers, and boy, dude, we did 10 brake applications on the way down.
That's a lot.
That's quite a lot.
Yeah.
8 minutes and 7 seconds on the way up and 8.9 mpg on the way up. So the uphill performance was okay. The downhill performance, even with this tiny trailer, was already becoming a little problematic.
And when we say tiny, we mean light, because the thing is about the same size, I'm looking at the picture.
As a car.
As a car. So
but it weighs a lot less than the car.
It weighs a lot less than the car, because there's basically just cloth in there, right? And then remember Nathan bought that Santa Cruz, and he went to the dealer and tried to get him to install the wiring for the lights, and he owned it for like a year, and he could never get him to do it.
So there was like a recall on the wiring harness, and it was sold out. So he was trying to use his Santa Cruz to tow, and he couldn't. So Nathan was kind of bummed by this.
All right, number five on our list, the Dodge Durango. Yeah. Tell me about that. I don't remember it anymore. It's been so many years.
No, I think it was me and Mr. Truck.
All right, tell me about the Durango.
So I put this on this list, and it's kind of chronological order we're going in.
So go back in time.
But we're going a little bit back in time, but also I put this on this list because it's a unibody SUV. It's a three-row. So in a way, it's kind of similar to the GX550. But I think it's one of the better towing machines for an SUV.
Yeah, I noticed on your list you got the word best.
That's what I wrote.
Yes.
So we were towing, I can pull up this video maybe. We were towing 7,000 pounds with this Durango.
It was a horse trailer.
It was a horse trailer loaded with cargo.
A horse.
No, we didn't have any horses.
A cow.
No.
No.
We had
a dog.
Water tanks and cinder blocks.
We used to use water tanks and cinder blocks because we could control the weight, right? So with the water tank, these big giants, they're honey containers.
250 gallon containers.
Yeah, and the upside of that is if you're overweight, you can just let out the water and pour it out. Or if you're underweight, you can just add
more
water.
Or if it's freezing temperatures, you could pour it out, right?
Yeah, and the great thing about water is it's heavy.
So it did really well. I mean, for that heavy of a load, 9 brake applications, so under 10 brake applications, and under 8 minutes on the way up, dude. It had a Hemi V8, 7 minutes, 49 seconds on the way up, and 4.7 mpg, and also very stable, very comfortable to drive. So all those things are played for it. And you know, another thing, here's I just want to say one more thing. When you have a unibody vehicle, like most cars and crossovers, here we're showing the Durango now, you can kind of hear the hitch because the hitch is basically connected to the entire body. Oh, I was by myself.
Oh, there you go.
Maybe it was during COVID. It could have been during COVID.
That's a big horse trailer.
You can hear the hitch inside the cabin because the hitch is connected to the entire body of the vehicle. When you have a frame underneath you, like the GX550, you don't hear the hitch because the hitch is kind of going into the frame and you're actually not hearing it.
All right. Now, since we're over a car, let's take another little sidebar because I feel like this is towing 101 for a lot of car folk.
Okay.
Oh, hey, Mr. Truck.
Oh, there he is.
Yeah,
he popped in.
Yeah. So let's talk about how you hook up a trailer to the tow rig. Now, first and foremost, I think people understand how the ball and hitch work, right? Receiver.
Yes, you have the ball receiver, basically, and the tongue of the trailer goes on top of it and kind of, you know, matches, and there's a lock. But you don't want to have happen. When on a bumpy highway, you don't want that tongue to pop off the ball, right? There's usually a tongue lock.
And with most trailers, there's like a little foot that you deploy, and then there's a little crank, and then you crank up the trailer, and then you put your hitch into the hitch receiver in the vehicle, and then you back up. And this is where the camera has become very important because now you need to exactly match the ball with the tongue.
Yes. And I mean, people usually tell me, Andre, I did this way before cameras, right?
Right.
And that's true. We did this before cameras.
And with the cameras, they show you like a little line. So sometimes if you see that on the screen when you put it in reverse, there's a little line. And that line lines up with the receiver and the ball that's then on your vehicle when you're about to tow. Now, but that's not all, Andre. So you back it up and then you lower the tongue onto the ball, right? And then what happens?
And then you have to make sure you lock the tongue, right? Okay. So you're doing that, and
Wow, that was when we had the Hummer.
Well, this was TFL Bids.
Oh, okay.
It was my little commercial.
Okay.
We're still playing the Durango Ike Gauntlet.
Yeah.
So you want to lock the tongue, right? Once again, you want to prevent that trailer tongue to come off your hitch receiver.
Yeah, this is easy, right? But that's not all, because this is where I was going with this. But then you want safety. So there are two chains mm-hmm. that usually crisscross because you don't want them hanging down and creating sparks. And then there are two little eyelets on the hitch receiver
yeah.
that you hook the chains to. But there's a third thing you hook. What's that?
There's supposed to be a breakaway cable.
Tell me about that.
If the trailer has brakes,
yeah.
and we're talking about heavier trailers, so they always have brakes. The breakaway cable is basically a safety measure. So if a hitch somehow fails and the chains fail and the trailer disconnects itself from the vehicle, it will pull that cable out of the trailer. It's just a little plastic connection. And that immediately locks up the brakes on the trailer.
So,
like a safety device.
So potentially, if you're going down the Ike Gauntlet and you lose the trailer, the car, in this case, could keep going, but the trailer will apply full brakes and stop.
And hopefully lock up and hopefully not hit anything.
Yeah, without you know, cartwheeling.
And rolling
down
endlessly.
Down the mountain.
Yes.
Now, the one thing that we always give manufacturers a lot of grief about are those two eyelets, because those safety chains are big. And those hooks that you hook on are pretty big. And for some reason, we've been doing this now 15 years, Andre.
Yeah.
The manufacturers, especially with trucks, keep redesigning those eyelets. And they keep like, it's like people who've never towed before. They either tuck them way underneath the car. Same thing with, you know, the
Land Cruiser, too.
Exactly. Yeah. Same thing with the Land Cruiser, right? It's got this binnacle, and you take these little pieces of plastic off, and then that those little eyelets are tucked way down there. And sometimes, like, you know, we towed with the Tacoma, we towed in a snowstorm. And then you got this ice cover thing, and you're trying to undo it.
Yeah,
it's just guys, make those very prominent, easy to hook up.
Yeah,
Ford is especially bad at it.
And we complain about it, and sometimes manufacturers redesign it for the better.
Yeah.
But then sometimes they change it back for the worse.
Yeah.
I don't know. So the Ram 1500 we have?
Yes.
The new one. They changed the hooks for the chains, those eyelets, and now they're worse again. I'm not quite understanding why this is happening.
Yeah, neither do I.
So
anyway, let's keep going. So next on our list is a Volkswagen Atlas Crossport. We were towing a smart car, 5,000
pounds.
So
actually, we compared it to an Infiniti QX80.
Okay, let's talk about
that. In this video, we did two at once, so it was a double Ike.
All right, so which one did better? And I can probably guess pretty easily, because the QX80 is based on a truck.
The QX80 did way better. We basically towed the same trailer with both vehicles. QX80 is a larger vehicle, heavier frame, frame-based vehicle, right? It did better on the way down. It was quicker on the way up, but it was less efficient.
Do you want to do some numbers? Give people the numbers?
So Atlas Crossport did 10 brake applications with 5,000 pounds, 8 minutes, 8 seconds on the way up, and 5.7 mpg. And the QX80 Infiniti, 8 brake applications, so 2 less, 7 minutes 49 seconds on the way up, and 5.1 mpg. So quicker on the way up, better braking.
So we just had a shout out from Nissan, thank you, from the PR team, because I recently went and looked at the new QX80, which is not based on a Titan. as far as I know.
Well, but it's using a lot of Titan bones.
It
still
is, yeah.
I mean, the frame is there.
But there's no new.
But it has a new engine.
Yeah, there's no new generation, and just like everybody else, they took the V8, and you know went
removed it.
Went with the V6 twin turbo. But I said at the press meeting. So the way these programs work is usually have a little press conference, a little press briefing before you go out and drive it. And I asked at the end, I said, you know, how much is this tow? And they said, it's a lot. It's like
8,500 pounds.
Yeah. And I said, okay, does it have a brake controller? And they said,
huh?
Brake controller. And I'm like, yeah, a brake controller. And they said, it can tow 8,500 pounds. And we were kind of like at this moment where they didn't quite understand that legally the most you could tow with that vehicle, even though it's rated for 8,500 pounds, without a brake controller is 3,000 pounds.
Yes.
Especially in Colorado, I think in California as well. And so then I had a long conversation with the CEO of the brand, and then I explained it to him. And of course, the engineer was like looking at me like, I know, dummy, I know. And I was like, well, now the CEO knows as well. And then who was recently went to the...
It was Tommy.
Was it Tommy?
Yeah.
So he went to the Infiniti launch of... This was the Infiniti QX80. Tommy went to the Nissan launch of the Armada, which the Infiniti...
Wait.
Yes.
The Armada is embargoed.
Oh. Okay, I can't say...
So we can't say everything.
Okay, I can't say.
Okay. But anyways, so...
When is the embargo?
September 2nd.
Oh, it's way as off. Okay. All right, well, we can't say anything. All that build up for. Boop, 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 boop.
Sorry, I just remembered this.
Oh, that's good. I don't want to break an embargo. I certainly don't want to break an embargo.
Well, we could talk about the QX80.
Yeah.
I mean, they gave it a twin-turbo V6, very similar to what Ford has done, and very similar to what, you know, Toyota has done with the Sequoia and the Tundra. And so Nissan is basically following suit in a lot of this.
Yeah, it's a good car.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it, and I really think it needed an update because that thing was long in the tooth, my man. Anyway, it killed the VW Atlas Crossport.
And we kind of expected it, right?
Yeah.
So, and that's kind of why we did this video. We're specifically talking about a large crossover, the Atlas Crossport, competing against Infiniti QX80, and with the same trailer on the same day. Everything was, you know, we tried to do it as closely as possible. And yeah, bigger vehicle, bigger engine, slowed down the trailer better and went up the hill better.
All right, I'm going to put a controversial statement out there, and you may or may not agree with it, but let me throw it out there. And this is my core belief, Andre. Mm. I believe if you're going to tow, get a pickup truck. I mean, we're doing this because it's a car podcast, but having spent a lot of the last 15 years, not as much as you towing, I just feel that factor that we don't put in these numbers, and that is how comfortable do you feel towing, is always, always much better on the truck side than on the car side. It just feels like when they design a truck, because a truck is a tool for the most part, they, from the get-go, bake in towing. Whereas with cars, it seems like an afterthought. Not the big ones, not the QX80,
sure.
Right? This is a big vehicle, and I've been watching the press briefing. You know, they had these happy couple towing a giant Airstream. But with a car, it's always an afterthought, whereas at least that's what it feels like. I don't want to disparage any car engineers. But with the truck, it's like this is one of the things that they had on their list.
It was a high priority.
Yeah, how much does it haul? How much does it tow, right? And also just the size of the vehicle. So
yeah, so let's mention it briefly.
Okay.
So what makes a vehicle really great at towing? It's really the stability of the chassis, right? So the longer that wheelbase, specifically the distance between the front axle and the rear axle, that distance, the longer that is, the better for towing, because you have a more stable chassis, right? And pickup trucks are what? They're long, right? Usually they have four doors, they have a long bed, so they're usually longer. Then the vehicle's weight, right, itself. Right now I'm showing you guys if you're watching, this is the Land Rover Defender 110. This is a new Defender doing the eye gauntlet. And we can talk a little bit closing out with this, right?
Yeah, but let me finish this truck versus car towing.
Yeah, so whenever you have that heavier weight, big frame, long wheelbase, and heavy springs, that's already a recipe for great towing.
Yeah, and then the other thing I like about trucks is they tend to just be taller. So you tend to sit up higher. And then the other thing, like you said, when it's baked in, they tend to have towing mirrors. And I can't stress to you how nice it is to have a mirror that either extends out or is big enough so you can see what the heck that load is doing while you're towing. And then there's all this other technology the trucks have. So, for instance, Ford, and they all do this to some extent, but like Ford has a specific screen where when you hook up a trailer, Andre, it asks you for the name of the trailer. So if you're often towing the same trailer, it knows.
You could recall that profile.
Yeah, yeah. And then it sets parameters. And it's just like, okay, this is like, I get it. This is like, you know, I just bought a machine that's meant to toast bread. not an not an oven that can do a whole bunch of other things. This is specifically built to do the one thing I'm going to be doing with it.
Yeah, and especially it's helpful, you know, to us because we usually have multiple trailers, multiple trucks. But Ford is really good at this. GM is really good at this for their pickup trucks. It's very easy to recall a trailer, you know, and you could track. Because the other thing about trailers, if the trailer needs maintenance too. You know, your tires, trailer tires.
We've had our big techs, right? Tilt trailer.
2 years now.
And we've already had to replace the tires because trailer tires are just, they're just the cheapest.
Yeah. And
the whole industry is kind of
cost driven, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I think all of the trailer, this is the tilt trailers, you know, the car haulers, a lot of that is owned by venture capitalists and they're out to make a buck.
Yeah,
I don't think I'm lying when I say that.
No. And also, like, wheel bearings on the trailer, you have to grease. So if you do have that great software inside your truck, like Ford does and GM does, and I think Ram is getting there as well, you can remember, you know, I've driven this trailer for 1,000 miles. Oh, it's time for me to, you know, once a year to actually grease those bearings.
And then GM.
Or change the tires.
Does really smart things, like they'll do TPMS sensors. Remember when we bought the Hummer EV? It came with an extra set of TPMS sensors.
Yes, you can monitor pressure in the trailer.
I was like, what
tires?
Are these for? And they're like, oh, it's for towing.
Yeah.
That's really thoughtful.
For your trailer.
And the other thing the GM does is you can get cameras that you can actually put inside your trailer. So let's say you're towing your favorite horse or cow.
Your prized car.
Yeah. So you can
You go into Pebble Beach?
You can have a camera inside the trailer. Yes, Pebble Beach. Speaking of Pebble Beach.
It's now.
Yeah. And seeing... There's no trucks there, Andre.
No.
And there's probably not a lot of...
No, there are trucks there that brought the million-dollar Bugattis there.
And there's probably not a lot of, like, any of these cars either. I don't think there's any Broncos or GXs.
Or Kia Sportages.
Yeah, probably not. Or Durangos at Pebble Beach. So that's why we're not there, in case you're wondering. It's honestly, we haven't been invited. I guess if we were invited...
Well, number one, we're not invited. Number two, we're not specialists in hypercars.
Yes.
We're not Pagani people.
Speak for yourself. I'm a Pagani person.
Oh, you are Pagani?
I am total Pagani.
Do you play piano and violin?
I am total Maybach. I am all over that stuff, Andre.
Okay.
Parasangue, I would love. Ferrari.
Actually,
it's a cross country of Parasangue.
Can the Ferrari tow?
No.
Can we tow with Parasangue?
Parasangue.
Am I saying that correctly?
I drove a Lamborghini on the track in Rome. See?
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah.
Revuelto.
Yeah,
right?
I was listening to one of my favorite podcasts, the Hot Pursuit, the Bluebird podcast.
Yes.
And Hannah got to drive a Lamborghini. No, she drove a Lamborghini up to Pebble Beach, and then she's driving a Parasangue down. So she's driving the Revuelto, which is a new hybrid, up, and then, you know. So I'm all over that, and Andre Abbott, you would be too.
I would love to do a Night Gauntlet on the Ferrari.
Okay. Ferrari, if you want.
Ferrari, if you would like to do a Night Gauntlet run.
Put a hitch on it with a brake controller.
Yes, and we'll find the most expensive, the most premium trailer. It's going to be beautiful, and we're going to tow it.
Yeah, you got it. So we'll tow like that base camp, Airstream base camp.
The best Airstream or the best, you name it.
Ferrari, you know that the active lifestyle is just red hot right now. Just red hot.
Yes.
So maybe you're tired of selling to all those billionaires with their private yachts. And all those millionaires, you know, with their...
How about millionaires who camp?
Yeah, with those guys, they love camping. I know they may have 14 homes, but they love to go off... I'm just joking. All right, let's go back to the Defender. How did the Defender do, Andre?
It actually did really well, but your comment about mirrors is very valid because the Defender has tiny, small mirrors because it's an off-roader, or at least the character of this SUV is for off-road. So when you go off-road, you want those mirrors as close as possible, right? Because so branches of trees as you're off-roading don't hit your mirrors. But that mirror is not great for towing. But it did really great. So we towed 7,500 pounds with the Defender, 10 brake applications, really quick on the way up, 7 minutes and 57 seconds, and 3.8 mpg on the way up as well. And I was very happy. If you watched this Defender towing video, it was super stable, very quiet, very powerful. It's a good machine.
Yeah, so I would say, once again, if you really want to tow seriously, rent yourself a truck. While these cars will tow, and especially like the GX or the Land Cruiser.
Or the Durango.
Yeah. And they do a good job for the most part. If you have a car, I had a friend, and he bought one of those Basecamp Airstreams, you know, the really tiny ones.
Okay. Which still like a single axle.
Single axle, yeah. 50,000. And he has a BMW iX. No, X1, sorry. Not an X.
X1. So the smallest BMW.
Yeah. SUV. And he bought it in Texas. We're in Colorado. And he's like, hey, Roman, can I tow this thing with the X1? And I have no idea maybe it was an X2, but it was one of the tiny crossovers. Tiny BMWs. Yeah. And I don't know what the tow rating is on one of these. And I was like, you know what? I've got a stable full of trucks. Just borrow one of our trucks. But he was, you know, hell-bent on towing with it. So he drove his BMW down to Texas, bought the trailer, and towed it back up and tows with it all the time. But that, to me, is kind of the towing that I don't like to do, where you're either right at the edge of the vehicle's towing ability or just a little bit over it. And you've got to worry about safety first and foremost, both for yourself and for the people around you. And so when you're in a truck, you feel like you've got complete control of the load, and I should be on the truck podcast, Andre, not on
yeah,
the
Yeah, you should come over.
And I'm actually over there because yes, Nathan's not around again. But I kind of feel like if I'm going to be towing, if I have the ability, Home Depot, just get the truck.
Well, you want. That's why the
don't do what I did
with the 300ZX.
Do what I say today.
Yes. When you see a person in their Nissan 300ZX towing a
motorcycle,
please tell them no.
I could have probably got one of those motorcycle little
trailers.
No, not even a trailer. The little mounted.
Oh, the hitch mount.
The hitch mount.
So you could put it on top.
I could put it on that. Yeah.
No, then you would have squatted that Nissan so badly.
This would have been like a Carolina squat. It was a Nissan 300ZX twin turbo, Andre. Yeah. So it could have handled that motorcycle.
So here's what I would say if you're buying.
And if you're wondering what the motorcycle was, it was a Suzuki Quintana.
How 600 much does it cc. Weigh? So it's a sizable bike,
600
right?
pounds probably.
Yeah, if you
not way too much for a Z.
Yeah, here's what I would say. Even though your neighbor probably he got home from Texas, in his little BMW crossover, but you need safety margin, right? You always like you're saying you need a bigger vehicle because it just takes you a little bit of side wind or a little bit of ice or a little bit of a rainstorm or a hailstorm for that margin of error, that capability to really kind of bite you and become a very dangerous situation. So you do need to try to count for that and get a bigger vehicle.
Look at that.
A BMW X1 can tow 3,500 pounds?
Yeah.
How? Well, this is what BMW says.
Yeah, that's what. So let's see how much the base camp is. How heavy is
Airstream base camp?
Yeah, Airstream. You want to Google it? You're probably quicker on the
computer. Let me try this.
Yeah, so maybe I was too harsh on him. Maybe he was well within
No, but I think the comment still stands.
Yeah, Airstream base camp. See how much it weighs.
The comment still stands. If you're the dry weight is 3,500 pounds, Roman.
Whoa.
What if you add water to it?
So he was right at the limit.
Yeah.
Because he bought it new, so
it had nothing in it.
It had nothing in it, yeah. So he was right.
He
at
was
the
pushing
limit.
It, Roman.
Yeah, he was,
And when I've driven many times, once with you, from Texas through Amarillo, it's really windy down there.
Mm.
I mean, the winds are high, and if you're, if you're towing with your small SUV, that's scary.
Well, guys, thank you for joining us for this episode of TFL Car Chat. Andre, thank you for filling in. We'll either get Tommy or Nathan on next time once the boys.
How about you ask Tommy next time how his surfing went?
Yeah. One's in Hawaii, the other one's in California. They're both
in the Pacific Ocean.
They're both in nicer places in some ways in the summer than we are, but I love the mountains, so maybe not. And where should they go if they want to listen to the truck podcast? What did we do what was the truck podcast this week? It was affordable off-roaders.
Yeah, we had one of you Patreon supporters, patreon.com/TFLcar. We had one of you participate on our truck podcast, so thank you. We did affordable off-roaders and a way to affordably modify your pickup truck for off-roading. And oldtfl.com, Roman, is where everything is in one place.
All right, we'll see you guys next time. Ciao.
of business leaders say AI is a top priority. The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at 1/3 of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. Grammarly is the right AI assistant for your team. With top-tier security credentials and 15 years of experience in responsible AI, Grammarly is how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. See why 70,000 teams trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.